Allow me to briefly introduce myself. My name is Sabine Winters. I'm Dutch and I live in the east of the Netherlands near the woods where I love to hike with my family. I work as a freelance philosopher and as a professional in the world of philosophy, science and art, I'm practically oriented and interested in the process of idea development and the how and why behind a theory or process. Over the last 7 years, I've organized, directed and programmed interdisciplinary workshops, meetings and lectures in assignment as well as for my platform Future Based. I believe that interdisciplinary research allows for a synthesis of ideas that integrate characteristics from different disciplines. The crossing of borders between disciplines can be highly potent spaces, but the challenge lies in how to bridge the different disciplines in such ways that they can trade and integrate information successfully. Studying topics thematically is an ideal way to bring a variety of ideas and approaches together, which can result in inspiration, new perspectives, and meaningful learning. With this in mind, scientific imagination will focus on the function of imagination in sciences from different perspectives, which will form the roots of this project. The philosophical quest of this project is based on a wish to understand more about the role of imagination in our understanding of the world. Furthermore, the different perspectives on the function of imagination represents a wider perspective on the question on human knowledge, how we obtain knowledge, and which beliefs we hold about the methodologies in acquiring knowledge. For more information, visit scientificimagination.org. So let me now introduce to you the first guest of this podcast series, Nancy Vermeulen. Nancy Vermeulen is a commercial airline pilot instructor, master in theoretical physics and astronomy. She was commander of Mars simulation in Utah and took part in ESA astronaut selections of 2008, bringing the universe closer to people and the people closer to the universe. That's Nancy's personal mission. For that reason, Nancy was the first in Europe to develop a non-governmental training program in which prospective space travelers can prepare themselves for a space voyage. As an introduction for this new podcast series, I invited Nancy to talk about the fuel for her imagination in her work and why the universe has an irresistible attraction for her. Why does she think it's important to do space research? And for what reasons does she think we are living on the verge of a shift within the space travel and research industry? Welcome to this podcast, Nancy. Very nice to have you. Could you introduce yourself and tell us something about your background?
Hello, I'm Nancy Vermeulen, founder of the Space Training Academy and private astronaut trainer. I studied astrophysics, worked as a scientist and spent a large part of my career so far as a commercial airline pilot and professional flight instructor. And my lifelong passion for space and astronomy brought me into personal contact with pioneers of the new space industry, which led to the idea of starting a training program for private astronauts.
And what was your biggest motivation to follow this path throughout your study and career? And maybe this motivation has changed over the last past years?
Well, when I was 6 years old, I looked up at the sky and the stars, and it really felt like home. And in my imagination, I used to board my spaceship, fly to another part of the world to have a picnic, and then just travel back home. And all I wanted to do in my life was becoming an astronaut. And so when I got older, I started working towards that goal. I got a degree in astrophysics, I became an airline pilot and a flight instructor, and I acquired every skill I could imagine I needed to survive in space. And then years later, in 2008, finally the announcement came that the European Space Agency was looking for 6 astronauts. And I got a chance to participate in the astronaut selections. Did I get in? No. Let's say that out of the 15,000 candidates applying for the job, I made it approximately to the final 400. And this would be the only chance in 15 years. So was I disappointed? Sure, I was very disappointed. But I found a different way to actualize my passion and realized that I didn't have to be an astronaut to fulfill my duties here on Earth. Let's say that as a child, I thought that flying to space would be as normal as taking an airplane within a lifetime, but the timing was a bit wrong. And when I was a young adult, flying to space was still reserved for pioneers selected by space agencies. But that's gradually changing right now.
And you said that's changing right now. And what would you say are the reasons that there's a shift in this landscape?
Well, you see, the government is not the only one exploring space anymore. And the nearby future, we will see a new category of astronauts, which are called private astronauts. Now, what's a private astronaut? Well, a private astronaut or spaceflight participant participant performs non-technical duties for short to medium-term stays in space. They do self-sponsored trips to space or are hired by private companies to conduct research. You will still have the professional astronauts, of course, who are selected by the major space agencies and will proceed for long stays on board the International Space Stations and prepare for missions to the Moon and Mars. And meanwhile, private companies will hire spaceflight participants for non-technical duties on short or medium stays to perform experiments too. So there will be space tourists for suborbital flights. Think of companies like Virgin Galactic, Blue Origin, and also space tourists for orbital flights with companies like SpaceX or Axiom Space. So one day, going to space will be easily accomplished by buying tickets for extraterrestrial flights.
Wow. But before that can become a reality, I would think that someone needs to prepare these private astronauts for the journey. And if I'm not mistaken, that's exactly what you do at your space training academy.
Yes, with all the knowledge and skills I had accumulated over the years, I realized I was perfectly equipped to start my own space training program. And here we cover both the physical and mental preparation on a convenient level for the private astronauts. So in collaboration with the Delft University of Technology and also the Desdemona Aerospace Simulator and the Center for Men in Aviation in Soesterberg, the Netherlands, we have developed a unique training program consisting of different modules which are interchangeable and also tailor-made for the candidate astronauts. So for example, we expose our trainees to high G accelerations and weightlessness, and we also learn them how to cope with oxygen deprivation. And herefore, we make use of high-end simulations and also a real zero-gravity flight.
And how do you see the future of space travel?
Well, thanks to better and reusable space transportation, I think space is opening up to many more people, not only professional astronauts or spaceflight participants who are recruited by governmental space programs, but also space tourists and scientific personnel assigned by private companies. So yeah, I think that the commercialization of low Earth will become a reality within the next 10 years. So we will see space tourists making short suborbital but also orbital flights and spending some time in low Earth orbits. But we will also see industrial production of isolation materials, medicines, and maybe human organs that will be 3D printed in space. But human space exploration has to go step by step. I think about the moon that the next 10 years we will see public-private cooperation to explore the moon. And this time people will go to the moon to stay in a sustainable way, which is possible right now as opposed to 50 years ago. Because today we know that there are indispensable resources on the moon like water, and we also have 3D printing techniques that allow us to use the material of the moon to print our shelters and so. So instead of transporting all that material from Earth, which costs a lot of energy and money, we aim to be able to gain fuel from the moon, which can help us to explore farther to Mars, for example. So by what we learn during prolonged stays in low Earth orbit and the moon, we can aim for the Mars in this, or maybe Venus. Yeah, men are from Mars. Women are from Venus, so both are worth exploring.
Why do you think this can become a reality just now?
Well, I believe that today we are ready to take a huge step forward in human space exploration. I think that because first of all, we see that there's a new space race going on right now. And the involved parties are the United States, China, Russia, Europe, India, and some new players too, like the United Arab Emirates. If you look at NASA, NASA's priority is to return to the moon, followed by missions to Mars. And this newfound competition is bound to create new funds for research and development. Secondly, because commercial companies are getting involved. So the second reason why I think we are ready for further space exploration is because we are now seeing the commercial potential. Space travel used to be a government affair in the past, but today the corporate world has also entered the game. Just think about Elon Musk or Richard Branson. So we are on the verge now of a true space economy, and the commercial possibilities are just mind-blowing. In space, we can create special materials and medication and even 3D print human organs. So think about new ways of traveling via space, like point-to-point travel, where it only takes 2 hours to get from the US to Shanghai. And of course, yeah, space tourism, just holidays in space, like space hotels with a magnificent view on Earth, roundtrips about the moon, that are all commercial possibilities in the next years. Thirdly, I think there is a next acceleration, the technology is finally becoming mature enough to make space travel more sustainable. We have now reusable rocket stages, and we also know that there's water on the moon. It's currently a lot more feasible for us to consider building a permanent base on the moon than it was 50 years ago during the Apollo era. So we can send robots that use 3D printing that can build a safe habitat to protect us. We have circular waste processing techniques, advanced water treatment and solar panel technology as well. The moon is necessary as an intermediate step towards a human settlement on Mars because it is only 2 to 3 days flying. So relatively seen, it's very close by.
So why does this privatized space exploration matter?
Because we have to become a spacefaring species in order to safeguard our long-term survival. More things are threatening our existence than you might expect. So the first thing that comes into mind is COVID-19 and climate change. But even if we manage to overcome that, our planet can still get hit, for example, by an asteroid. How silly would it be for us to get wiped out by a simple rock from space? With all the knowledge and technology that we have, we could still end up like dinosaurs. And the sun will not be around forever either. So our time here on Earth is per definition limited. And that's why we need to plan ahead and see the bigger picture. All the issues that are keeping us occupied right now, like politics, migration, employment, well, these are important things, of course, but they are trivial compared to the challenges that we will have to overcome in the future. And we have to come together as a species and focus on finding the solution to the major issues from space that are threatening us. The solution that we will have to look for is waiting probably for us in space too. But it's important, of course, that our drive of further exploration is the right one. As we are getting into space again, as we are involved in a new space race, this time we should put some fair rules in place. We should do for space what we should have done for the climate ages ago. Think about creating think tanks, set down some boundaries, respect international treaties, defend the universal rights of all inhabitants of Earth, and also share knowledge and resources. Space can unite us or divide us, and it will be up to us to decide which way to go.
Yes, a lot of work for philosophers, I think. Yeah, a lot of possibilities there.
Yeah,
so sure. Can space exploration then solve our problems?
Well, space is a huge source of innovation. Did you know that most of the things that you are using today in your everyday life are here because of space travel? Think about solar panels, GPS, portable computers, recycling techniques, and even water treatment facilities. Space also helps us to track and understand global changes in agriculture, climate, fishery, also deforestation, and even desertification, thanks to monitoring systems in space. So almost every solution that we have on this planet was developed to solve a problem in space and was then later on commercialized for daily use on Earth. So space exploration is not the ultimate solution for the problems we are facing here on Earth today, but it challenges us to continuously develop new technologies which eventually make life on Earth better.
If we then develop into this space-faring species, what are the biggest challenges for the humankind?
I think the most important hurdle for us as humankind in order to become an interplanetary species is our human psyche. Our mentality needs to change. Otherwise, we will make the same mistakes in space that we are making here on Earth. And I think in particular, the care of a planetary body and sustainability. It's so important to take care of our home planet Earth. It's the body of humankind. And right now, we are not able to live without a body. Everyone knows that if you don't take care of your body, that you are not able to travel and to explore. Many leading thinkers believe that the reason that there are no aliens contacting us is because no species could actually make it through this period in their history. I'm talking about the period where they become powerful enough to destroy themselves, but not wise enough not to destroy themselves.
Could you imagine what it would be like to be on another planet and what we can learn that would influence our human collective thinking?
Well, yeah. Yeah, In 2010, I was the commander of a Mars simulation mission. And for this experiment, we traveled to Utah with a group of 6 people, including myself. And yet, you see, the Red Utah Desert in the United States is a place on Earth that really, really resembles Mars. And we lived there in full space gear to simulate a space mission. And I remember there in the Utah Desert, I remembered myself actually standing as if I would be on the red planet Mars 50 years into the future. And then I looked up at the beauty of the night sky, really being overwhelmed by the vastness of space, and then realizing that one of the small stars I was seeing could be seen from Mars, planet Earth, which is seen from Mars, just a tiny, tiny blue speck suspended in the vastness of space. And that really puts everything into perspective. If you can just look at other planets from another planet, that's really mind-blowing. And you know, when astronauts go into space, they leave all boundaries and prejudices behind. They go into a mindset of exploration, cooperation, and survival. And that's a switch that we need to make here on Earth too. We need to snap out of the narrow-minded thinking that divides us and focus on what really matters, and that is the survival of our species in the long run. So yeah, when you are on a simulated space mission disconnected from planet Earth, nobody is thinking about age or gender or money anymore. Even though we were very different, we were all united by the common goal of exploration. And that common cause of working together on the future of humankind is what we don't have enough of Earth here today, I think.
What is your personal mission for the upcoming 10 years then?
Yeah, of course I want to train future private astronauts because I want them to become fully autonomous and well-prepared space ambassadors. Yeah, we are convinced that an appropriate training program for private astronauts will have a positive impact on the space industry and society as a whole, because after their flights, these private astronauts, most of which are people of influence, they will be space ambassadors, and their experiences will contribute to the perception of human spaceflight to the public at large, which is then, of course, important for the further development of the space economy. Secondly, I want to contribute to meaningful and independent scientific research. Well, as people with less than perfect health conditions will be tested and trained, it will expand possibilities for further human explorations to the moon and Mars, the first steps of becoming an interplanetary species. Then thirdly, I want to help the general public to see the full picture. We want to bring the universe closer to the people and vice versa, because space travel, of course, matters to all of us. So yeah, I see myself as a space ambassador. Space exploration is still pristine and open to humankind, and only a few people right now see the opportunities and the potential. But I'm convinced that space exploration has a lot of potential and economic benefits for all people everywhere on Earth.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Do you have any tips for further reading?
A book that really inspired me last year was A Far Shore of Glenn D'Amato. Yeah, it's about young people exploring Mars in a way that you didn't expect.
I want to thank you very much for sharing your knowledge and your insights, Nancy. Thank you for being on this podcast, and all the best.
It was a pleasure to share my passion with you.